Welcome into World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thanks, as always, for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. My name is Nate Abarea. Get at me in the Twitter sphere at Nate WST. WST standing, of course, for World Soccer Talk. You can get at all of us in the Twitter sphere at World Soccer Talk and at Sports Byline USA for updates on this program. In this edition of the show, I am very excited to be speaking to this gentleman, a legend of the craft stateside of soccer broadcasting and the number one voice for Fox Sports in the FIFA Women's World Cup here in 2015. I speak, of course, of JP Della Camera, a voice of so many World Cups on the men's and women's side. His work back in the day for ESPN, his work in Major League Soccer, and most recently, of course, up there in Canada covering the Women's World Cup for Fox Sports. We're going to talk with JP about how Canada is treating him, some of his favorite moments in the Women's World Cup so far, and the favorite sights and sounds for JP off the pitch, getting to know the beautiful land of Canada, the big cities, getting to know Vancouver in particular. And we're going to take a trip down memory lane back to 1999, that famous day at the Rose Bowl, USA and China. JP was, of course, calling the USA and China, the Women's World Cup final back in 1999. We'll ask JP what he thinks, what goes through his mind when he thinks of that famous day from 1999. And if his call, if he really remembers his own calls. I've heard so many famous broadcasters over the years, when they talk about those big games, they say, God, you know what? When I look back on it, it's all kind of a blur. So can't wait to hear what JP has to say about his memories of the 1999 final. And we'll learn how JP fell in love with the game of soccer and how he got his start in the world of broadcasting. Cannot wait to talk with JP Della Camera in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio. Before we head to our first break, quick shout out to Landon Donovan, showing that he has a future in comedy. Going on Twitter after Jurgen Klinsmann named the final roster for the CONCACAF Gold Cup, and Landon Donovan tweeting, I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed that I didn't make Jurgen's Gold Cup roster. Cheers to you, Landon. You gotta love it. World Soccer Talk Radio is back with you after this. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Stay with us. Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from 7 different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Gorgeous! Oh, you are the most beautiful bride I've ever photographed.
Oh!
Yes! I am witnessing a fairy tale unfold!
Oh, I don't want this day to end.
Okay, work the veil. Uh-huh. Okay, now sniff the bouquet.
Oh, okay.
Join my rewards program.
Wait, what?
Well, for your next wedding.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobil, Nationwide, Rite Aid, and Hulu. There's plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back here with you live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thanks to you for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. My name is Nate Abarea. To be joined here in a few moments by one JP Della Camera talking to us live from Canada. And we do indeed have JP on the line. Good sir, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Nate. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. So first off, before we kind of delve deep into this thing, how are you liking Canada this summer?
I love Canada, especially in the summer. I used to be a television voice of the Atlanta Thrashers, so I got to come to Canada quite a bit, to Ottawa, to Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary, and I loved it. But as you know, the temperatures in Canada in the winter are far different than they are in the summer. So I would say I'm enjoying the climate a bit more this summer.
Have you had a favorite city thus far?
That's a good question. I would say Vancouver for sure. Just trying to think of them off the top of my head. Ottawa seems very nice, and we're going to Montreal next. But Vancouver, I went there 3-4 years ago on a vacation, and it was one of the best vacations I've ever had. So I'm going to have to say Vancouver with all due respect to the other cities.
Vancouver takes the cake, seemingly, for just about everybody that has been up there at the Women's World Cup. So let's talk about Canada 2015, the FIFA Women's World Cup. Give us some of your favorite moments thus far in the tournament as a whole, and then I really want to get in to the USA and what many people are calling these lackluster performances for the USA, who are into the quarterfinals with 3 clean sheets in a row. But first off, talk about some of your favorite moments in the tournament as a whole.
Well, I think calling the opening game was big. Canada versus China, host nation. I've had some experience with that with the U.S., so I think it's always great if you can call a game where the host nation is involved and Canada is truly behind their country, just like the USA was. So I think that was exciting. The game itself wasn't so exciting. Only one goal was scored on a penalty kick in the end, but that's a lasting moment and memory for me. Probably the first USA game that I did was also in that category. I think the most exciting game that I got to call was, I'm trying to think back to all of these games now, Sweden-Nigeria, where that ended up 3-3, and that was a wild and crazy game. And, you know, 6 goals in one game, I haven't seen that many in the last few games that I've been able to call. And I like to see the goals in the tournament. We've got some great players here. There have been some great goals. Saw another one last night in the Japan game. So I think the quality of play overall has been good. I don't like to harp on the officiating, but there's probably more controversial calls so far in this tournament than any other tournament that I can remember, for sure on the women's side and maybe even on the men's side.
Okay, well, now let's tackle the team on everybody's mind, and that is, of course, Jill Ellis's led U.S. of A. Have you been disappointed in the Americans at all? Because I've had this discussion with so many guests and people on Twitter. The criticism is incredible because you have this glasses half empty, glasses half full kind of thing going on right now where they haven't allowed a goal since the opening match against Australia. Yeah, they may lack this killer instinct that a lot of people were expecting from this club, or from this country, I should say. Have you been at all Would you use the word disappointed to describe any of your feelings in watching these matches played by the USA who are in to the quarterfinals?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good word, you know, disappointed, because I think we expect more from our team. But I like to be fair and balanced. So if I'm fair, yes, I'm disappointed in the offense. I thought they would be scoring more goals, playing better. I mean, they're just not executing well. It's not that they've been victimized by tremendous goalkeeping at the other end or that they've been unlucky on their chances. They're just not executing well at all. So, yes, I'm disappointed in that. However, you know, I'm more than pleased with the way the defense overall has been playing, especially the back five of this team. They're not just not allowing goals. They're not allowing chances. Hope Solo made 5 saves in the opening game. She's made 4 saves total since then. I mean, they're not even conceding many chances. So I think that, you know, on the plus side, yes, they've advanced. They've gotten to the quarterfinal. That's great news for the team. You know, as you know, it's getting out of the group that's number one, whether it's the women or the men, whether you're the favorite or the underdog, it's getting out of group play and getting into the knockout stage that's very important first and foremost. But I will say this, if they don't pick it up, I'm going to say not even one notch, maybe 2 notches, they will not be able to beat Germany or France, not at the level those 2 countries are playing at.
Well, and how about the China quarterfinal, which, you know, immediately brings back memories of the final in 1999. Talk about the keys, in your view, for the U.S. to have a quality performance in the quarterfinals in this rematch of that famous day back in 1999.
Well, China's a totally different team than they were back then. I mean, they're trying to get back to those glory days, if you will. I mean, they've had a significant drop-off from a point where they were once the top rival of the USA to a point where Cat Whitehead was saying on the air the other day that they didn't really have a fear for China because China was not one of the better teams when she was a player. So that wasn't that long ago. Now they're starting to come back to life, it seems, and a lot of these players were on their under 20 teams, so they're getting some experience playing together, also playing in youth tournaments. But I think this is a very good defensive team, China. I think that they could give the USA some trouble, especially since the US is missing Holiday and Rapinoe, 2 of their most creative players. I don't think China will beat the US or can beat the US because I don't see them generating much offense. They've only scored maybe an average of a goal per game in this tournament, and now they're playing the best defensive team. So I don't give them a good chance to win, but I think that when you look at it, you know, with Holiday out and Rapinoe out, certainly their chances for an upset are greater.
Just as JP is pointing out there, Megan Rapinoe, one of the 2 suspended players for the USA for one of the softest yellow cards that I have ever seen, absolutely sending Redding, California, her hometown, into a frenzy, an angry frenzy back on Monday evening. No Pino in the quarterfinal for the USA, but hopefully they can get past China and Megan can get back to work and anchoring things for the USA in the semifinals. But still that big task of defeating the Chinese in the quarters. Nate Abarea here with JP Della Camera on World Soccer Talk Radio. And I brought up the, you know, people calling it the rematch of the 99 World Cup final. And as you point out there, JP, the entirely different teams on both sides. But when you see that matchup and being the man who brought that game to the masses, I mean, you called the final in 1999, what goes through your mind when you think back to that day, and especially when you think back to your own call from that day?
Well, it seems sometimes it's fresh in my mind, and other times you could tell me something from that game, and I would have to say to you, I don't remember that. But, you know, the things that I remember, you know, we're getting to the stadium early, you know, the sellout crowd, the red, white, and blue, the noise in the stadium, and knowing that we were all a part of history. I think when you do a game, though, like that, Nate, you're really living in the moment. If you ask me to remember what I was thinking, you know, as Brandi Chastain stood up to take that kick, I would have no clue. You're just in that moment. You're just making sure that you know who's shooting next. You've got an accurate score. You know that you're correct in saying, you know, if this goes in, that's it. Because sometimes, you know, penalty kicks don't have to go to the ultimate. You know, you can win them early. So you always just want to make sure that you're error-free on those calls. And I just remember for that game, you know, knowing in my mind that if she scored, that's it. They win. I don't make up goal calls. I don't think about goal calls. They sound, I can tell when an announcer is using a goal call that he's orchestrated, that he's rehearsed. I just don't believe in doing that. I think it's a spur of the moment call. And all I said was, if she scores, they win. And I just said the word goal, probably as loud as I could, and I laid out immediately. And then I let the crowd tell the story, the director, the producer tell the story. That's what I remember the most. And I was watching it as a fan. When I'm up there laying out, I'm watching it just like somebody's watching it on television. So I was enjoying that experience. I don't want to talk over what was the best moment in Women's World Cup history for the U.S. national team. Those are some of the things I remember.
Well, we got about a minute before we got to head to break here with you, JP, but I've heard this from Phil Shane on this show. I've heard it even in interviews with the greats over in England, like Martin Tyler and Clive Tilsley, where when they talk about certain games, they look back and they go, certain aspects of it, really just a blur. I mean, it blows my mind, how that works. And I'm also curious for you, real quickly, before we got to head to break here, of the idea of being a fan and then being unbiased when it comes to USA matches, so specifically in regards to this Women's World Cup. How do you balance that?
I think you, I've done it enough, so I can't remember what it was like the first time, but you really want to be aware. Like the other day when we did USA Colombia, we want to be aware. We want to make sure we're not just USA centric. And I know some people will still say it's a USA call. I get that, and it's what you hear and listen to as a viewer. So I do understand that. But I will tell you, we do our very best to make sure that we're not just talking about the USA. That we're praising the other team. That there's a reason why the USA is playing so poorly, and it's not just because they're not executing. It's because Colombia came in with a very good game plan. So I think, deep down, if you're an American, of course you want the USA to win. How could you not? But, you have to take that aspect away when you're calling a game. I mean, we have to know what to say if there's an upset. We have to be calm. We have to be composed. We have to explain to people why the USA would lose to China if that does happen on Friday. And we had to be prepared for it if Colombia pulled off what would have been the greatest upset in World Cup history on the women's side if they had beaten the USA a couple days ago.
JP Della Camera is our guest here on World Soccer Talk Radio on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Keep it right here. We're back with more after this. Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.tv/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from 7 different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus, all of the games from those leagues are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Are you tired of network announcers who are clearly pulling for the other team? Check out Rabble.tv, a new kind of television experience where you are in control of the audio. Rabble.tv allows users like you to broadcast your insights and opinions about sports and entertainment, free from the restraint of network predictability. Rabblers are creating a fresh new type of audio entertainment. Mute your TV and do your own play-by-play, provide running commentary, or just banter with your buddies. Or you can listen to other fans who love your team as much as you do. It's live, it's new, it's Rabble. Rabble.tv.
Nate Abarea back here with you on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well. Get me on Twitter at NateWST and at World Soccer Talk. JP Della Camera, our guest in this edition of the program. We talked all about the Women's World Cup in that first segment where JP is stationed up in Canada working for Fox Sports. But now it's time to start that little trip down memory lane. Well, I guess we already got a head start with that, talking about the 1999 Women's World Cup final. But let's go a little further back, JP, and I'm really curious to hear how you originally fell in love with the game of soccer, and then talking about how that transitioned into your broadcasting career. But first, talk about how you fell in love with the game and who some of your earliest heroes were.
Wow. Long story. I'll try to make it shorter, but I grew up in Boston, and when you grow up in Boston, it's at that point, it was hockey number one for me. And baseball was so far down the radar, so it was hockey number one for sure. And I probably didn't have a favorite sport at that time other than hockey. I think back then the NASL was getting started. There was some soccer on television. I think ABC was the one that was covering it back then. But I started to watch it, and I fell in love with the game because it reminded me some of soccer in the sense that it was always moving. Baseball to me was a static sport, so much time in between pitches. Pitching changes, batters getting out of the box, very boring to me. So I was never a baseball fan, even growing up in some of the glory days of the Boston Red Sox. So hockey was number one, and that's how I started in the business, did a lot of minor league hockey work, and then at some point got tired of all the bus rides and saw an opportunity to do indoor soccer, major indoor soccer league, and that's really that's probably where my soccer career really started. I had done some fill-in work before then, but nothing really much to speak of. I would think that my real soccer broadcasting began in the early 80s, and it started with indoors.
Well, speak a little bit more to that. I'm really curious, and a lot of people who listen to the show who are aspiring to be sports commentators and working in multiple sporting arenas and finding similarities between things that are so different from one another. And the connection that you make between soccer and hockey broadcasting is a real fascinating one. Shine, if you can, a little bit more light into how Sure. you learn to improve at both crafts, you know, through the other.
Well, I think that doing minor league hockey, first of all, there's no sport that's faster, right? You know, you're following the puck, you're following them skating. So I think it trains you to have a good eye and to be able to go at a very strong pace. I fell in love with the indoor soccer part of it because you have to remember, in the early 80s, that's all that we had. Our nationally televised games were indoor soccer, major indoor soccer league. And back then, they're getting crowds of 15,000, 18,000, 20,000 in some cases a game. At one point, you could look this up, but the team that drew the most of all the indoor sports in this country, NBA, NHL, any indoor sport, the leader was the St. Louis Steamers. And I'm going back to sometime in the 80s. I think the Edmonton Oilers back then were maybe the, the highest drawing team when they had Gretzky and they were selling out. But indoor soccer was big at that point. So that's how I got started, and I saw the similarities with it. You know, you're using the boards, you're making plays off the boards, you're setting up plays, breaking out of your zone. So a lot of it was very similar. And I think that the only reason that I fell in love probably with the indoor game back then was that was the strongest league that we had. And at that point, some of the better players that came over here, they were playing indoor soccer. And I think overall, I was getting tired of the bus rides. You know, 10 years, minor league hockey, Long Island, Springfield, Erie, Pennsylvania, Hampton, Virginia, tremendous experiences for me in terms of living and also business-wise and honing my craft. I enjoyed every bit of it. But after 10 years, I was starting to think NHL was much smaller. I'm not going to get anywhere in terms of the NHL. And a lot of the guys that I grew up with in this sport, including Doc Emmerich, were all working in the NHL. So I thought, let me try this indoor soccer. It was in Pittsburgh. It was owned by the same guy that owned the Pittsburgh Penguins, the DeBartolo Corporation. And I never thought it would lead to a job in Pittsburgh, because Mike Lang, who I think is one of the greatest of all time and is still there in Pittsburgh, was at that time their television announcer. I think now he's doing radio. But I never thought I would get that job. I just thought I would continue to go with soccer. And if hockey ended up in my future again, so be it. And years later, ironically, it did, without me really going hard after it. So one of the lessons that I tell people that are young broadcasters is, first of all, you know, go where you can find a job, go where you can find experience. You're going to put up with some things that you may not like, but it's part of what will make you better. And also, never give up on your dream. You know, my dream was to be at one point in the NHL. This is before I thought about World Cups or anything like that. And years later, without me really going after it, I ended up getting an NHL job, which I kept for 5 years.
Well, going back real quickly to some of your words on the indoor soccer here in America, I'll never forget, it was the second show that we did here with World Soccer Talk Radio, and Janusz Michalik was our guest. And Janusz is one of those fine example of what you just talked about, of those players that came over from Europe, came over from abroad, came from South America to play indoor soccer in the 1980s. Janusz suiting up for the Cleveland Force, the Louisville Thunder, and the Canton Invaders, among others. Actually, also the Atlanta Attack, I should point out, for all you Georgia soccer fans. But, you know, when I hear that stuff, and thank you as well as far as everything you're shining a light on a broadcasting side of it, and never giving up your dream and putting up with God knows what throughout those minor league years. But when you think of it from a soccer sense, and you realize that you got your start in indoor soccer here in America, what does it mean to you when you look at how far things have come?
Well, it means a lot when I tell you that I was doing indoor soccer, and that was our national game of the week, and it was on ESPN at one point anyway, and at times it was on a tape delay basis, but it was one game a week, and that was all that we had. Bud Sports produced it. That's it. We couldn't really watch outdoor soccer like you can right now in this country. You can watch it anywhere on a multiple platform of networks. You can listen to the games on radio as well. We couldn't do that back then. So I think, you know, the sport has come an amazingly long way when you consider that at one point, indoor soccer was what people were watching in this country, and it was on a once-a-week basis. And it was so limited, Nate, that that's when I decided at that point to branch out and do college basketball, because I thought, if there's only one game a week on for soccer and I'm doing the game, what if it changes networks and that network doesn't want me to do it? Now I've got nothing. So I thought, let me do something else. And I had the hockey background, but I also thought college basketball was very big. And I thought, you know, that's another sport where the ball is moving, you know, like hockey with the puck moving, or soccer. The ball is always moving in basketball. And I thought, I could do that too. So I ended up doing a lot of college basketball while still doing soccer. And then, you know, years later, World Cups and Major League Soccer came into existence in 1996. And now, how many guys do you think? I can't even tell you how many guys are making a full-time living just calling soccer right now. And that was never the case in the 80s. It was one guy making a full-time living, and that was me. And when I say a full-time living, I was making $40,000.
Well, it segues perfectly your words there into what I want to talk with you about in the next segment after this break, and that is the new wave of American soccer broadcasters and how the American soccer scene in the stadiums and on the field has progressed and how it's progressed behind the microphone and on the radio, on the television, talking all about that with JP Della Camera on the other side of this break right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. The Sports Byline Broadcasting Network is what you got it tuned to. We're back after this. Stay tuned.
Steiner Sports is the most trusted sports collectibles company in the country, carrying exclusive items from your favorite teams and athletes. Commemorate the Chicago Blackhawks Stanley Cup win with exclusive prints, canvases, and fan cave signs featuring Patrick Kane, Corey Crawford, and Jonathan Tate. For this week only, shop SteinerSports.com and use promo code Hawks20 at checkout for 20% off your order. That's SteinerSports.com, STEINERSPORTS.com, with promo code Hawks20 for 20% off your purchase.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
Want to be the next great sports announcer? Check out Rabble.tv, where you call the action. You already know more than the guys on TV. It's time to show the world what you can do by sharing your insights and opinions about the sports you love, like football, baseball, basketball, soccer, MMA, wrestling, and more. Everything from the biggest matchups in the world to a game right in your neighborhood. Join other Rabblers who are creating a fresh new type of audio entertainment. So mute the audio coming from that network guy who never liked your team anyway, and let us hear what you think. Rabble.tv.
Nate Abarea back with you here on World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're with JP Della Camera in this edition of the show, and we're going to talk about in this segment the new wave of American soccer voices. We kind of ended the last segment talking about this new generation of so much soccer being available to the viewer and to the listener, and really cannot wait to get your take on this new wave of American soccer broadcasters, JP. But before we jump into that, I got to end up the discussion about your work in the old MISL and indoor soccer here in America. Do you have any funny stories, any interesting memories that you could share real quick about your days back in the 1980s and the indoor soccer scene here in America?
Wow. We're going way back. One of the things that I remember that I thought was good back in the day, you can't do it in the outdoor game, but every time you remember Tattoo that used to play for the Dallas Sidekicks?
Yes.
He used to take off his jersey whenever he scored a goal, and he would throw it into the stands. You know, never got a yellow card for that. That was part of the shtick. And there were times where he'd score 3 goals in a game, 4 goals in a game, and probably even more than that. He was an exciting, electric player. I remember some of the things like that with MISL. They used to pump in the loud music as well. I can't think of any off the top of my head anyway. I mean, that's so far back. I can't think of any funny or clever stories, but I did meet a lot of interesting people, a lot of Polish international players. Some people back in the day were terrific players in their countries, you know, a Stan Terlecki, a Steve Jungle. I mean, I saw Preki play when he was a teenager. So if you think he was good in the last decade with Major League Soccer, nothing like he was back as a teenager. He was an amazing, amazing player. So I got to see some of those guys when they played at a young age. The sad part about some of those guys, though, Nate, is that they were good enough to play on our U.S. national team, but there was a bit of a prejudice involved with our indoor players, because I think at that time our soccer federation didn't think highly of guys that played indoor soccer. But we had some terrific players back in the day. Some of them ended up playing on the U.S. team, like Fernando Clavijo. Kevin Crowe was another one. But there were so many others that probably didn't get a chance that they deserved to play on the U.S. national team. That's unfortunate.
Well, be sure if you can take something from this show, go back and look up some videos of Tattoo and the old Dallas Sidekicks. Found a great picture here of Tattoo in the old green Sidekicks uniform back in the 1980s. And again, that conversation that we had with Janusz Michalik back a couple of months ago about his days in the MISL. It's some fascinating stuff, and it's stuff that needs to be known as far as American soccer history, that this is what was there for a lot of people back in the 1980s. It is some fascinating stuff indeed. Now, let's talk about American soccer broadcasters, JP, and we talk about the humble roots of the growth of soccer in this country, and taking a look at how much it's grown behind the microphone, behind the screen, and the amount of televised soccer that's available, and therefore the amount of gigs that are available for aspiring soccer broadcasters. First off, what do you really make of this new wave of all these folks that in, for all intents and purposes, are the youngsters of the soccer commentary world and getting the limelight, getting these big gigs? What do you think of the new wave of soccer broadcasters, JP?
Well, I don't want to get in trouble, Nate, because if I mention names, I'm going to upset, you know, some friends, because I'm going to forget names. But, you know, in general, I think it's a good young group that is very fortunate to have this experience that in my day I didn't have. Like I said to you before, I was doing indoor soccer because that's all that we had. And I added another sport to my resume in college basketball because I didn't know if I could make a full-time living doing this. Now, you know, you have all these networks, not just, you know, ESPN or Fox, but you've got BN Sports, you've got NBC that was doing the games in the EPL, and there's other networks as well that are out there, One World Sports, who I do work for now with the Cosmos, you've got, you know, Comcast Network. There's networks all over the place, television and radio and Sirius XM and what you guys are doing as well. So there's so many more opportunities now for young American broadcasters to get better at their craft. So I think that this next wave that you call it is going to be very good. I don't know if they're going to end up getting the same experience that I got, because back then when I was getting a lot of these, it wasn't as competitive as it is now. I'm not trying to minimize, you know, where I've gotten, but, you know, there's going to be a lot more competition now for jobs. I mean, the good news is that there are more jobs available. The bad news is that there are more people that are going after these jobs. And I think our colleges are doing a good job, better job, of getting guys ready for this, because there's so many college announcers now that are doing live sports at the various universities, and they're doing so many games that it seems like a smaller jump than it used to be from going to, let's say, a college student to becoming a professional broadcaster. But I think that the more opportunities that these younger American announcers get, the better that they will be. So I think soccer is in good hands in this country from an announcer standpoint.
Now, I got to ask you something here. That it goes back to some controversy a number of years ago, and it's kind of showed itself again in recent years. But that is this backlash, and what I'm going to just say right now on the show has been a lot of kind of anti-Americanism as far as voices of soccer, and especially in regards to 2006 with ESPN's choice to put Dave O'Brien as the number one broadcaster for the 2006 World Cup in Germany. And I remember my feelings as a youngster then and as a young man now, which is, hey, people, let's not get carried away with the wrong thing here, that there's something wrong with putting someone who doesn't know the game as well as someone who's been working in it for decades. There's something wrong with that, but there's nothing wrong with them being an American. Let's take this nationalistic idea out of this whole controversy or argument or whatever you want to call it. What do you make of that, and how have you dealt with that over the years?
It's a great question. You know, I'm asked it often. What I would say to you is this. As an American, I want to hear American voices. That's just me. That's just my choice. But I do respect whatever network it is and the decision or decisions that they want to make. ESPN decided to go all European in 2010. And I think that their choices were excellent. I have no problem with any of the announcers that they chose. I just didn't agree with the way they went about it. I think the U.S. national team games should be called by an American voice, born or at least spending most of his life in this country. That's the way I've always believed. And it doesn't have to be me. I'm not speaking about me at all. I mean, it has nothing to do with me. I would just rather hear an American voice calling USA national team games. And I think I can make an unbiased opinion because I'm telling you that some of the announcers that I've grown up with, I think are terrific. Martin Tyler, to me, has always been a voice that I've loved and respected. And he's been, over the years, my favorite announcer. And I think that Ian Dark is very good and John Champion. And there's so many English announcers that are very good. But I think that they should be doing other games for their country, not for the U.S. So that's where I am right now. I think Fox, to their absolute credit, and not because I'm one of them working for them, but to their absolute credit, they have five play-by-play announce teams in Canada, and all five are American. And I applaud them for that, because otherwise, I mean, if it was just me and four guys from other countries, I don't think that's right either. I think that we are an American network, and I don't mind, even going back to the ESPN deal in 2010, I knew they were going to bring in English voices, and I was okay with that. I was fine with that. But when they made it all exclusive to European voices, that's where I think it was wrong. And they can say that ratings were a huge winner. It had nothing to do with announcers. People are not watching these games because of announcers. Our Fox ratings are sensational. Not because I'm doing the games. It's because people are interested in the World Cup. That's the bottom line. I can tell you now, it doesn't matter where the next World Cup is going to be. You know, it's supposed to be in Russia. I know there's a time difference, but those ratings will be higher than they were this last time around in Brazil and also in South Africa. It has nothing to do with announcers. We don't even know who's going to be announcing in 2018. It's all to do with how we've grown as a country, how we love and appreciate the game, and how we watch the game. So you can't say that the games are better because of the announcers. And that's also a personal preference, Nate. I mean, you might like English announcers better than USA announcers or vice versa. I mean, that's just your opinion. I'm just giving you mine. I think that there should be an American voice on U.S. national team games, and we have enough people in this country that are good at it that someone should be their voice from World Cup qualifiers on now to the next World Cups.
Well, I think the most important thing for me to point out in regards to this is that, again, I go back to the main point of I don't care what nationality the person is as long as they know the game. And that was what always kind of offended me about the whole thing in 2006 with Dave O'Brien. And this goes, look, this transitions into the modern sense. There was an equivalent basically with Fox of the what people called the Gus Johnson experiment and this idea that we need this American voice. And I'll say it again right here. I was kind of PO'd at that really, you know, Gus Johnson's going to be the one that we choose, someone who's never really been around the game. And take nothing away from Gus's style or his ability to call a basketball or a football game, but that kind of offended me as a soccer person, as an aspiring commentator myself. And again, that goes back to the same principles with the Dave O'Brien thing. And what do you make about that? Touch on that just a little bit more as far as the importance of the broadcaster, wherever they may be from, the importance that the viewer, the audience can look and watch and hear and go, this person knows the game. I'm comfortable with their knowledge.
Right. I think Dave O'Brien and Gus Johnson are very good broadcasters, first of all, first and foremost. I think they are. So I'm not sure, first of all, why they even wanted to do soccer or the World Cup for that matter. I have no idea why they wanted to, but I also don't know why the networks put them in that position. You know, you're putting them in position to fail. Right. As many World Cups as I've done, if you had asked me tomorrow, and you could name the amount, if you asked me tomorrow to call the next Super Bowl or to call the World Series, I would respectfully decline no matter what offer you gave me. Money doesn't matter in that case to me. I can't do baseball, and I can't do football. And I'm smart enough to know that I shouldn't try to fool people and to try to do that. So it depends on the individual. You know, you'd have to ask Dave, you'd have to ask Gus why they wanted to do it, if they wanted to be the lead guys, or if that was their agents, or if that was the networks talking them into it. You know, that I don't know. But to go to your point, I don't think you should ever, in a major event, bring in any announcer that's not familiar with the sport. I think it's, and I'm not talking about Dave or Gus specifically, so I don't want to be misinterpreted on that. I just think that it's a dangerous thing to do when you bring people in that don't know the sport to call the sport. I mean, think about it from an analyst standpoint. Take it to a different level. I think Doris Burke is a great analyst on NBA and college basketball. But you wouldn't say to Doris Burke or to Doug Collins, who I also think is great at it, you wouldn't put them on a soccer game. So if you wouldn't put an analyst who doesn't know the game on, why would you put a play-by-play person on? They're driving the boat. They're driving the ship. They're steering the analyst and everyone else on that production. So it's tough. There's so many nuances in soccer, just like there are in baseball, just like there are in football and basketball. So I think that if you've learned two things about me during this, one is that I'm pro-American in terms of our American voices doing U.S. national team games, and I'm also pro experience, at least experience with the sport. I think it's wrong when anybody tries to take someone from another sport and put them not just on an event, but on a major event. And when other networks had done that in the past, I would always say, you know, they wouldn't do that for the Super Bowl. They wouldn't do that for the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup Playoffs. You would not put someone into those play-by-play chairs that had no experience in the sport. But for whatever reason, you know, at the network level, they decide to interfere with soccer because they just want to maybe fine-tune it or make a statement or whatever happens. And I think at the end, we're all fooled, again, because the ratings are so good. So why were the ratings so good? Again, no disrespect to announcers, myself included. People are watching for the event. You could hate the guys calling the Super Bowl, hate them with a passion if you'd like, but it's not going to make you not watch the Super Bowl on television. Same with the World Cup. People are going to watch it. So it has nothing to do with the announcers. I think announcers are there to enhance it, to make it better. And in a blowout game, if you like the announcer, you might keep it on a little bit longer. If you don't like the announcer, you might turn the channel. But you're tuning in to
you
watch.
You are tuning in for the product at hand, which is the game itself. JP Della Camera, it has been great talking with you. Hope we can do it again sometime. Thank you for your time. I know you're real busy up there in Canada. And best of luck closing out the Women's World Cup, sir.
My pleasure to be with you, Nate. Thanks for having me.
Heading to break here on World Soccer Talk Radio. We're back to close things out after this. Stay tuned.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies, but you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
World Soccer Talk Radio. We're taking our Ferrari down the highway to the finish line. Oh, is it still too soon to do that? All right. Nate Abarea closing things out here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Huge thank you to JP Della Camera, for the gaffer Christopher Harris, and the producer Dom Jimenez. I say thank you for listening. Bye for now. We will talk mañana. Oh, and by the way, Liverpool FC, my beloved Reds, with the firmest signing of the summer so far. Roberto Firmino. In for £29 million, a Brazilian wonder kid. You gotta love it. Coutinho and Firmino. The Brazilian connection at Anfield. Cheers. Bye for now.